Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business. From liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Bloomberg Audio Studios.
Podcasts, radio, news.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Tim Stenovek on Bloomberg Radio.
I'm out in the cold, fighting soul, nowhere to go.
Well, after the Cold War ended, there emerged a theory that Western liberal democracy had triumphed over fascism and communism. The theory was perhaps most notably put forth by the political scientist Francis Fukuyama, who argued that we'd reach, quote, the end of history. Peace among nuclear superpowers. The Nazis were gone. The Berlin Wall had fallen. It turns out things didn't exactly go the way that the West thought they would. The world didn't embrace the Western form of liberal democracy. Russia invaded Georgia and Crimea, and then Ukraine, where it's in its third year of fighting. China, over that time, has risen to become the second largest economy in the world with its own global ambitions. In other words, there are other countries that want to be superpowers. David E. Sanger is the Pulitzer Prize-winning White House and national security correspondent for the New York Times. He wrote the bestseller, The Perfect Weapon, his new book, out earlier this month. It's called New Cold Wars, China's Rise, Russia's Invasion, and America's Struggle to Defend the West. David joins us from Washington, D.C. David, congratulations on the book. How are you?
Thank you. Thanks very much. It was an exciting and in many ways fun exercise to go write this.
Well, you write in the book that the revival of the superpower conflict took Washington by surprise. When was Washington surprised by this? At what moment? And why were we so caught off guard?
Well, we were caught off guard for a couple of reasons. The first is that we had worked from that assumption that you described, that the end of history had come here. And while Fukuyama famously wrote it, he wasn't the only one to subscribe to it. Most of Washington subscribed to some version of that theory. The second reason is that we lived in a world of self-delusion. We spent 20 years focusing on terrorism as if terrorism was the central challenge to the United States, rather than the major nuclear armed and rising technological powers around us. Thirdly, we took way too long in doing the pivot to the Asia Pacific area. We talked about it for years and years. We still haven't fully sort of focused the US on that. And it really was not until the past few years, more than 20 years after 9/11, that we sort of woke up to the fact that the central challenge for us over the next few decades will be not only Russia and China and the world that they are building around them, but the interaction between Russia and China, which was exactly what Nixon and Kissinger were trying to interrupt when they recognized China in the early 70s.
What were some of the warning signs that the optimism was misplaced that you kind of came across in your research, you know, speaking to five different presidential administrations and different geopolitical experts?
Well, Emily, it's a really interesting question because this was a bipartisan error. I mean, this is not a Democrat or Republican thing. It was Bill Clinton who went to Beijing University and declared the internet will set you free and undercut the Communist Party of China, when in fact it became part of the system of exquisite control that the Communist Party put together. It was George W. Bush who floated down the Neva River with Putin, one of their two dozen meetings, in where they were talking about Russia joining the European Union and maybe one day in the future, who knows, might even become a member of NATO, the alliance that was created to contain the old Soviet Union, right? So this was not Democrats or Republicans. But among the delusions was that national interests, territorial interests, interests in authoritarian control would not come ahead of their economic interests. We assumed that China was so invested in the United States and vice versa that confrontation between the two countries could never happen. And that in Russia's case, that they so valued the oil and gas revenue that came from those pipelines into Europe that they would never threaten the possibility that those could get cut off. And in fact, the Europeans never really gave them any reason to think it would be cut off until after the full invasion of Ukraine in 2022.
Hey, David, sit tight with us because we're going to do some news and then we're going to come back with more from your new book. We're speaking with David E. Sanger, the Pulitzer Prize winning White House and national security correspondent for The New York Times. His name is familiar not just from his bylines in The Times, but also he's the best-selling author of The Perfect Weapon. The new book, out earlier this month, it's called New Cold Wars, China's Rise, Russia's Invasion, and America's Struggle to Defend the West. We'll have more with David in just a few minutes.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. You need a company with extensive experience in specialized insurance. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and helping provide coverage that suits your needs. The Hartford offers insurance solutions that help mid to large-sized businesses, like yours, effectively manage risk, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. With extensive experience in underwriting, risk engineering services, and claims, The Hartford goes beyond the expected to deliver innovative, customizable solutions and service that your industry, that your business, demands. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Meet Gary. Gary's about to become an Einstein in an instant.
Whoa, Einstein hair. I like it.
That's right, Gary, because you're using Salesforce powered by Einstein AI to connect data, predict business trends, generate personalized content, and wow customers.
I do feel a lot smarter.
Because you're not just Gary anymore. You're Gary, empowered by Einstein AI.
Did you hear that, team? I'm an Einstein.
Oh, can I get a selfie?
The number one AI CRM. Now everyone's an Einstein with Salesforce.
I want to get right back to David E. Sanger, the Pulitzer Prize winning White House and national security correspondent for The New York Times. His new book, the new called New Cold Wars, China's Rise, Russia's Invasion, and America's Struggle to Defend the West. David joining us once again from Washington, D.C. David, I want to start with an anecdote that you include in your book about a President Biden visit to New York City just a couple of years ago, back in, I believe it was October of 2022, where he made some comments at a fundraiser that I think struck a lot of people as pretty shocking. Explain what happened.
So this was October of 2022, as you said, and the president for the past few days had been getting a string of some of the most alarming intelligence reports you can get as president of the United States. They indicated that intercepts of Russian commanders in Ukraine at a moment when the Russians were doing very poorly in Ukraine indicated that they could be preparing to use tactical nuclear weapons against Ukrainian military sites. If they had gone ahead, it would have been the first use of nuclear weapons in anchor since the bomb was dropped on Nagasaki, the second of two American bombs in 1945. And so the president's got this fundraiser. It's being held, of all things, at the house of James Murdoch. He's the one of the few Democrats in the Murdoch family, big fundraiser. So there are all these, you know, East Siders who are walking around with their wine and looking at the art exhibits and getting ready to tell their friends they had cocktails with the president. And Biden comes in and he says, "We face the greatest nuclear possibility of nuclear use since the Cuban Missile Crisis, which had been 60 years before that very week." And he went on to describe the possibility that they are dealing with a leader in Vladimir Putin who might make use of a nuclear weapon because of the great nuclear paradox. That the worse the Russians did, the higher the chance that they would reach for their arsenal. And that began a remarkable period of time in which the U.S. scrambled to get China and India, among others, to tell the Russians there is no space here for the use of nuclear weapons. Putin backed down, but something has really changed in this war, and that is, for the first time in post-Cold War history, or really since the end of World War II, we have the possibility that nuclear-armed states are going to threaten to use nuclear weapons against non-nuclear-armed states. And that changes the world.
So your book is titled New Cold Wars. And I noticed that now it looks like the New Cold Wars, it's Russia and China and then the U.S., whereas in the prior Cold War, it was basically one country versus another. Can you talk about the dynamics of almost the U.S. being, I don't want to say outnumbered, but it's clearly not just one country versus another country, this new Cold
War.
That's
right. And Emily, it's a great question, Emily. And I don't think we're outnumbered because the U.S. has something that Russia and China doesn't, which is a vast network of allies, which is probably our greatest strength and certainly enables us to extend our military, economic, technological reach. But those alliances are not as widespread as American officials would like you to think. There are probably 50 countries that are in the alliance together to back Ukraine, but that leaves another 120 that are either lined up with the Russians or standing on the sideline, those who say, don't make us choose between these two different groups. The dynamics are completely different. In the old Cold War, it was largely a military contest against the Soviet Union, and within that, largely a nuclear context. In the new Cold Wars, it's Russia and China, two very different powers, China on the rise, Russia struggling, and really only has the power of a disruptor. But they have found great utility in coming together and bringing in countries like Iran, which is providing the drones and maybe one day the missiles for Russia's use. North Korea, which has gone from being isolated by all to suddenly being a critical supplier to the Russians as well. It's a different relationship than in the old Cold War, because when the old Soviet Union would go visit Mao, it was the Soviets on top. Now it's the Chinese on top. And we don't know what that partnership, it's not really a full alliance, is going to look like. But it's probably the single most important factor in America, in international relations today, and certainly in American strategy today. And we need a way to go figure out how to go deal with it, manage it, maybe interrupt it.
David, you've spent so many years reporting, not just from Washington, but on the trail, not even on the campaign trail, like on with the presidents, traveling with the presidents all over the world to many of these places that you talk about. We know how the Cold War ended with the fall of the Berlin Wall. How do you think this Cold War ends?
It's a great question. We're so much at the beginning that I don't even think we can think about the middle, much less the end. You know, the old Cold War had a sort of surprising start. The speed with which the Soviet Union turned from an ally of the U.S. in World War II to an adversary just in a matter of years. And then it had a long middle, and it had a surprising, and to Americans, very satisfying ending with the collapse of our adversary without any direct confrontation. Obviously, Korea, Vietnam, many other proxy wars along the way. Anybody who's looking for a similar pattern in these new Cold Wars is probably going to be disappointed, because for the next few decades, this will be the shaping competition for the United States and its allies. Some ways that may be good. I mean, I think it's forced the United States to think about national security differently. We now understand how semiconductors are at the core of American national security. Yeah. The TikTok debate is about national security, right? In ways that we did not even a few years ago. But what worries me is that in this presidential campaign, We are so wrapped up in our internal divisions over so many issues, cultural issues and so forth, that we aren't even debating what our strategic approach to these adversaries has got to be. And I can't think of a more central issue for the next American president.
David, 30 seconds. We only have 30 seconds left. How does it change if it's Biden who wins in November or Trump if he wins in November?
If it's Biden, I think it's going to look a lot like it is. If it's Trump, the traditional American allies are going to begin to think about their plan B. And their plan B may be defending themselves without the U.S., and that may mean getting their own weaponry, including nuclear weaponry, because they can no longer rely on the American alliances.
Wow. Really gives us something to think about. David, I really appreciate you taking the time and joining us during the book tour. David E. Sanger, Pulitzer Prize winning White House and National Security Correspondent for The New York Times. His new book, it's out now, New Cold Wars, China's Rise, Russia's Invasion, and America's Struggle to Defend the West. David Sanger of The New York Times. You're listening to Bloomberg Business Week, and this is Bloomberg Radio.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business. From liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.